By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of my dear channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. It's a new week. Now, last week, subhanAllah, a beautiful week for some. For some, a very, very hard week. For some, my dear viewers, inshallah, you know, there would have been some sad or unfortunate events. But whatever the situation, whatever has passed, let it pass. And praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people would be thinking, why thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I've had a sad or a bad week? No, my dear viewers. Whatever the situation, always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sometimes it may be, okay, maybe we're ill. Maybe we've been ill all week, but even illness could be a blessing. When you are patient, it's a means for the forgiveness of your sins. And he said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person, then he makes that person suffer a hardship. Why? When they come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala they shall be free from sin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant them entrance into paradise. So there are, subhanAllah, many blessings and virtues, even in, you know, suffering from difficulty, suffering from hardship. If you remain patient, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. My dear viewers of Mother, inshallah, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. Each and every single morning, each and every single week, we begin by listening to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. Now, previously, the last, I can say, a few weeks, we have been listening to the beautiful, possibly the most beautiful of stories. The story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, speaking about patience, speaking about hardship. Imagine Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine his father, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. His father had lost his child. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was thrown into a well by his own brothers out of all people. This is what makes it worse, doesn't it? Sometimes they think, okay, if somebody else did this to me, there's no problem. But how could you do this to me? This is what you would say to your close, maybe family, siblings, maybe your close friends. You'd be like, of all people, I did not expect this person to do it. And my dear viewers, out of all people, we would never expect our siblings to what, leave us for death. This is something which, Allahu Akbar. And this is what happened to Yusuf alayhi salam. His own brothers had cast him into a well, thrown him into a well, left him to mazallah die. Allahu Akbar. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt, is the best of planners. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam was not only left to die, he was thrown in, you know, the bottom of a well, and then he was sold as a slave. Yes, he was sold as a slave. He spent time in prison, difficult, hardship. But he always remained patient, and subhanAllah, look the rank that he achieved. Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. That's just, honestly, it's absolutely beautiful, phenomenal. Allah and teachers, really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. We can always make plans. And right now we would be making plans too. That on this day I'm going to do this, this day I'm going to do this. And then we suddenly realize that, no, that's not the case. This is not how it is going to be. It doesn't happen. Remember, Allah ta'ala is the best of planners. Whenever you do plan, it doesn't mean, oh, that we can't plan no more. No. Yes, make your plans. Also, keep in mind, inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, then indeed it shall happen. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, then I shall come visit you on such and such day. If Allah ta'ala wills, then I'll go to such and such place on such and such day. Inshallah. So we should always say, inshallah. My dear viewers, subhanallah, let's begin this day. It's a new day, it's a new week. Put all the past things, my dear viewers, behind us. All the hardships, all the suffering, put it behind us. Yes, learn from the things. Learn that there are many incidents which take place. We need to learn from, I did this thing wrong. I need to learn from this. So learn from some things, my dear viewers. And then, inshallah, move forward, move on. Have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah, as I said, it's a new day. It's a new week. Let's begin this new day. Let's begin this new week by listening to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. Yes, Surah Yusuf has been completed. We are now going to move to the next chapter, the 13th chapter of the glorious Quran. And what is the 13th chapter of the Quran? The thunder, ar-ra'd. Let's listen to the Quran. Whilst listening to the Quran, we should, or when the Quran is being played, we should give our attention to the glorious Quran. As well as this, my dear viewers, make good intentions, because the more good intentions you make, the more reward you shall gain. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
الف لام تلك آيات الكتاب والذي أنزل إليك من ربك الحق ولكن أكثر الناس لا يؤمنون
یہ کتاب کی آیتیں ہیں اور وہ جو تمہاری طرف تمہارے رب کے پاس سے اترا حق ہے مگر اکثر آدمی ایمان نہیں لاتے
اللہ الذي رفع السماوات بغير عمد ترونها ثم استوى على العرش وسخر الشمس والقمر
اللہ ہے جس نے آسمانوں کو بلند کیا بے ستونوں کے کہ تم دیکھو پھر عرش پر استوا فرمایا جیسا اس کی شان کے لائق ہے اور سورج اور چاند کو مسخر کیا
کل یجری لأجل مسمى
ہر ایک ٹھہرائے ہوئے وعدے تک چلتا ہے
یدبر الامر یفصل الآیات لعلکم بلقاء ربکم توقنون
اللہ کام کی تدبیر فرماتا اور مفصل نشانیاں بتاتا ہے کہیں تم اپنے رب کا ملنا یقین کرو
وَهُوَ الَّذِي مَدَّ الْأَرْضَ وَجَعْلَ فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ وَأَنْهَارًا
اور وہی ہے جس نے زمین کو پھیلایا اور اس میں لنگر اور نہریں بنائیں
وَمِن كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ جَعْلَ فِيهَا زَوْجَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ يُغْشِ اللَّيْلَ النَّهَارَ
اور زمین میں ہر قسم کے پھل دو دو طرح کے بنائے رات سے دن کو چھپا لیتا ہے
ان فی ذلک لآیات لقوم یتفکرون
بے شک اس میں نشانیاں ہیں دھیان کرنے والوں کو
وفی الارض قطع متجاورات وجنات من اعناب وزرع ونخيل صنوان وغير صنوان يسقى بماء واحد ونفضل بعضها على بعض في الأكل
اور زمین کے مختلف قطعے یعنی ٹکڑے ہیں اور ہیں پاس پاس اور باغ ہیں انگوروں کے اور کھیتی اور کھجور کے پیڑ ایک تھالے یعنی گھڑے سے اگے اور الگ الگ سب کو ایک ہی پانی دیا جاتا ہے اور پھلوں میں ہم ایک کو دوسرے سے بہتر کرتے ہیں
ان فی ذلک لآیات لقوم یعقلون
بے شک اس میں نشانیاں ہیں عقل مندوں کے لیے
وَإِن تَعْجَبْ فَعَجَبٌ قَوْلُهُمْ أَإِذَا كُنَّا تُرَابًا أَإِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ.
اور اگر تم تعجب کرو تو اچمبا یعنی تعجب تو ان کے اس کہنے کا ہے، کیا ہم مٹی ہو کر پھر نئے بنیں گے؟
اُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَئِكَ الْأَغْلَالُ فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ وَأُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ.
وہ ہیں جو اپنے رب سے منکر ہوئے، اور وہ ہیں جن کی گردنوں میں توک ہوں گے، اور وہ دوزخ والے ہیں، انہیں اسی میں رہنا.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ، we have listened to the tilawat of the glorious Quran, Surah Ra'd, chapter number 13. This is now, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal, we've just begun. Listen to the beginning ayat of the glorious Quran, or of this particular surah, that is. Now, people would ask, and some people, my dear viewers of Madinah channel, they would see the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that would be enough. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was given the Quran al-Kareem. And when a time came when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered to invite people, first those people who were close to him, and then others too, eventually then for everybody. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were some people who immediately they had accepted. And in fact, this is something which is beautiful, but I think I'm going to leave this to another day because it'll take us to another topic. But I'll just quickly mention one of the things, in fact, from this. From these ayat we have just listened to. And this, my dear viewers, is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people did confront him. Well, we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also put through difficulty, through hardship, through torture. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had struggled in many ways. He had suffered hardship. Yes, he had suffered hardship. He had people throwing, you know, an entire community, people throwing stones and things at him. Allahu Akbar. People strangling Mazallah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had been through a lot of difficulty. Allahu Akbar. So much difficulty, my dear friends. This was one form. But another form of people were saying, why not show us the angels then? If you claim an angel gives you the message, if you claim this Quran has been revealed to you and it's from God, but you know, some say, why not show us God? Why not show us angels? Why not just show us? Allahu Akbar. These are the objections which people will raise. And it's beautiful, my dear viewers of Madinah channel. The reality is that if you were to see everything, then it's not believing, is it? But if you look at the signs, then truly, subhanAllah, it all points towards, you know, the creator, the one and only eternal being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of the entire worlds, everything, the creator of everything. If you look around us, if you look at the skies, the perfection, even we don't even have to look at the macrocosm, as you say, you could look at the microcosm, you could look within ourselves. Even if you were to just look within ourselves, I remember, subhanAllah, when studying biology, and one of the teachers, and that person would say that, and this is many times, and sometimes we would go into great detail, and they would, at the end, they would say, as for this, we don't know. Or as for this, God knows. Because when it comes to it, my dear viewers, it's, you know, it's perfection, really. Is so beautiful, so beautifully and perfectly created. Allahu Akbar, it shows that it just cannot come about by its own. No doubt there was, and there is, not just was, there is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created all of the worlds. He had created me. He had created you. And there are signs. Look at the skies. Look how everything is so perfect. Everything is so beautiful. Subhanallah. Yes, and we should, you know, sometimes look up in the sky. Do you see any of this in the Quran? هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورِ Do you see any inconsistency? There is no inconsistency. There's just complete perfection. Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal. My dear viewers and mother, inshallah, we have listened to the Quran. We then move on to the Na'at Sharif of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, ya Mujtaba, خير الورى صل على
दिन है या मेरे समा ये भी नहीं वो भी नहीं शब जुल्फ या मुश्के कुता शब जुल्फ या मुश्के कुता ये भी नहीं वो भी नहीं सर्वे जा पिजा हैरत ने झुंझला कर कहा हैरत ने झुंझला कर कहा ये भी नहीं वो भी नहीं
किस जोर पर क्या बढ़ के चमका था कमर क्या बढ़ के चमका था कमर बेपर्दा जब वो रुख हुआ बेपर्दा जब वो रुख हुआ ये भी नहीं वो भी नहीं अब हो गया रोजे जजा दी उनकी रहमत ने सदा दी उनकी रहमत ने सदा ये भी नहीं वो भी नहीं
सल्ले अला
सल्ले अला
दिन
شب صبح تک سونا تجھے شب صبح تک سونا تجھے شرم نبی خوف خدا شرم نبی خوف خدا یہ بھی نہیں وہ بھی نہیں حق یہ کہ واصف ہے تیرا حق یہ کہ واصف ہے تیرا یہ بھی نہیں وہ بھی نہیں دن ہے یا مہر سما یہ بھی نہیں وہ بھی نہیں شب زلف یا مشک کتا شب زلف یا مشک کتا یہ بھی نہیں وہ بھی نہیں
حبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم ماشاءاللہ عزوجل you are watching Rise and Shine الحمدللہ عزوجل we've just been listening to and possibly reciting along the reciting Durood Sharif upon the greatest of all mankind Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now my dear viewers of Madinah channel, every single day alhamdulillah azzadal we have our daily question. Let's hear us, what is today's question? Today's question is, name the person in the house of whom the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was prepared, meaning in whose house was the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remember, everybody tastes death, everybody passes away, but there's a difference between that of prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, and normal people, because yes, their soul is taken and it's immediately given back. Yes, they are buried, and this is why we go to the blessed shrine of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But one other thing to know is al-anbiya'u أَحْيَاءٌ فِي قُبُورِهِمْ, that the Anbiya عليهم الصلاة والسلام, they are alive in their graves. Those who are martyred, they are alive in their graves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not call them dead. Do not say about those who have passed away, those who have been martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not call them dead people, do not call them أموات, بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ, but rather they are alive in their graves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him sustenance. So yes, they taste death, they go into their graves. Okay, now, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his grave was prepared too. But in whose house? Some people will be thinking, since when were people buried in a house? Well, that space, it used to be a house before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was buried there. It used to be somebody's house. The question is, whose house was it? There are four options, my dear viewers. Option number one, was it the house of Sayyidatuna Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam. Option number two, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved ummah from the ummahat al-mu'mineen, Ummul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Aisha, the beloved wife, our beloved mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Option number three, was it in the house of this great companion from the Aishara Mubashara, the 10 guaranteed paradise, Hazrat Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf? This is option number three. Was it Hazrat Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf? As placed on screen A, B, and C. So now we're on D, my dear viewers. Or was it in the house of the rich? Hazrat Usmani Ghani, radiallahu ta'ala an. Was it in the house of Hazrat Usman ibn Affan, also known as Usmani Ghani, radiallahu ta'ala an? In whose house was the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds? So now, not today. So for example, what we see, some people will be saying, no, it's not in a house, it's in a mosque. Yes, my dear viewers, the mosque. Now remember, the mosque was nothing like this. We can possibly see images, and we just have of Al-Madinatul Munawwara, the mashallah, the beautiful green dome. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was not like this. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had built the mosque. But yes, and it would, the rain would be able to come through it. This is the state. So there was a masjid which was built, and then next door to the masjid, attached to the masjid, there was a house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One, the house of Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. One, the house of Hazrat Maymuna radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. There was other houses of the beloved wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they were not directly attached to the masjid itself. And then there were other houses, like the house of Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu an. So everybody had their own doors to the masjid too, initially or at a time, until Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ordered for all personal doors to be closed, other than that of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, afdalul bashar ba'd al anbiya, the greatest of people after the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why am I saying this? Yes, the reason, my dear viewers, is because the green dome that we see nowadays is not there. In them days, the part where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to live, all them houses, so there's many houses. There was many houses there. And in one of these houses, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried. But the question is, in whose house was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam buried? So at that time it was a house, and later during the time of Malik bin Marwan, later it was extended. Before that, Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radhiyallahu anhu did a little bit, but didn't really fully extend it. And then later during the time of Malik bin Marwan, it was extended much more. So then that came within, you could say, a part of the masjid. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he's buried today, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it used to be a house of somebody. But the question is, whose house was this? There are four options. I'll quickly run through them again. Option number one, was it Hazrat Fatima Zahra? Option number two, was it Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha? Option number three, was it Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Auf? Option number four, was it Hazrat Usman Ghani radhiyallahu ta'ala anhum? Ajma'een, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for their sake, mashallah. Every one of these beautiful, every one of these individuals, subhanallah, you know, the beloveds of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every one of these a companion, yes, from the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every one of these, the best of people. The best of people after the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah. Yes, my dear viewers, because every companion, they are the best of people after the prophets. Nobody can match them. You can, if you were to be born today, if there was to be a baby born, and immediately that baby going into sajda, let's just say it was immediately went into sajda, that baby spent its entire life worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how much, well then it wouldn't become a baby, it would grow up, wouldn't it? And no matter how much worship it has performed, no matter how good, may Allah Ta'ala grant all our children the ability to do so much good, but nobody can ever match a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how great they become, they can never match a single companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody. The companions, my dear viewers, are on a level of their own. Remember this. You must remember this and understand this. And this, every, I'm not speaking about any particular companion. Yes, amongst the companions, there are some greater than others. So for example, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is the greatest of all the companions. But it doesn't matter. That's like, yeah, let's just say that's a separate thing. But just the companions overall. Anybody who is a companion, this is beautiful. May Allah Ta'ala grant us more love for the companions, for the Sahaba Ikram. May Allah Ta'ala grant us so much more love for the companions, inshallah ta'ala. But if you use every single companion, just think of anybody and then think, is that person a companion? Even sometimes we hear stories of some people doing, yes, something bad or something against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at first. You know, we had so many incidents like this. But then later they accept Islam. They become a companion. But now that they are a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah. It doesn't matter, Allahu Akbar. They are the greatest of people. The dust below their feet, we cannot match that. You can spend your entire life worshipping Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can spend your entire life. You can spend your entire life performing good deeds, not commit a single sin. You can still never match a single companion. Even that person who's only a companion for possibly a few hours, possibly even just a day, you can't even match the level of that companion. Even that companion who only prayed a few prayers, a few salahs. You can worship your entire life, you can never match that companion. These people, the companions, this is not our topic. In a way, it is, in fact, because today we are speaking about friends. So these were the friends of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the friends, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But as I was saying, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had looked into the people's hearts, and He chose the best of people to be the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa alaihi wasallam. These people were the best of people, subhanallah. No doubt, my dear viewers of the channel, we can never attain, nobody can attain the rank of, obviously, the prophets. There's no doubt about that. And then also the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at least grant us true love for the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala make us from amongst those who love every single companion and truly respect them the way they should be respected, inshallah ta'ala. Now, don't forget the question. We can't forget the question. We've gone from one thing to another, but subhanallah, the question is, in whose house was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam buried, or was his grave prepared? There were four options. The answer is from one of these four options. Subhanallah, we've been speaking about the companions and the greatness of the companions. Whose companions were they? How is it that they attained such greatness? You know, how is it they have such a great rank? Because they served and they loved Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. They just had to see, they just set eyes on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They saw, and even those who were blind, they met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if it's once in their life. But they are considered a companion. And they have the greatest of ranks after the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear viewers, we are going to move straight to our topic. Subhanallah. I'm just so excited myself. I feel like listening to another narshif. But let's move to our topic. And what is today's topic? Today, inshallah, we shall be hearing about friends. And this is very important because, subhanallah, I was just looking up some, I wouldn't call them facts, but after some research, some qualities, the qualities of a good friend. And I thought that let's inshallah hear about the qualities of a good friend, and then we can again, in fact, we will take it back to the companions, because we've been speaking about the companions. Let's speak more about the companions, inshallah ta'ala. So the qualities of good friends, and then inshallah we shall relate this back to the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the friends of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, they are companions, but in a way, friends too, my dear viewers. Those who supported, aided, helped Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who placed their own selves before, meaning, in front of Hazrat Talha radiallahu anhu. So many companions, not just Hazrat Talha, but he's famous for it too, isn't he? The amount they suffered, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, We'll mention all these, inshallah. Let's first go to the daily reminder, and then we shall return. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
To develop our character, our mannerism, Islam teaches us this. And we have the most perfect role model in front of us, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran mentions to us that he is the ideal role model. His sunnah is a complete and comprehensive way of living. It is a complete lifestyle. It's inside the house and outside the house. It's in the private and in the public as well. Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah, the founder of Dawud Islami, encourages us to practice upon the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to refine our character. Nek a'mal or pious deeds, which you can download for free from App Store or Play Store. If you fill this out and act upon it on a daily basis, believe me, you will see positive results in your life. If a person wants to become a practicing Muslim, an upright member of society, then nek a'mal is your helper. Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah includes one point there, because it's a self-questionnaire. You're asking yourself questions. Did I do this? Did I lie today? Did I perform my 5-time salah today? Did I make good intentions today? Did I respect my parents today? Did I obey the traffic rules today? Etc. Daily questions, weekly, monthly, yearly questions, and lifetime questions as well. And one of the beautiful points that we have to ask ourselves, that did I speak politely today, even with a newborn baby? Allahu Akbar. Because as a baby is growing up and you speak politely, what will happen? That baby is going to learn good manners, is going to learn polite speech, good words, and you yourself will develop your own character as well. Try to download it, try to practice upon it as well. Allah Azza wa Jal grant us understanding and keep us on the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba Ikram, Ahlul Bayt, and Awliya Allah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah, that was daily reminder. My dear viewers of Mandarin Channel, Alhamdulillah, you are watching Rise and Shine. And today we're speaking about good friends. Now, as I did say, inshallah, we shall look at the qualities of what generally people consider, like psychologists, etc., who've done this research. They consider these to be good qualities of a friend. And the first one they mention is that they push us to be more accepting of ourselves. They push us to be more accepting of ourselves. And subhanAllah, if we are to look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the life of the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, it's quite similar with them too. This is a good quality. It's a quality of a good friend. And we find this amongst those people. We find this, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were some people, my dear viewers, who they had no right whatsoever. Yes, people had no rights. There were no rights, my dear viewers. And now we think we have rights. Subhanallah, 1400 years ago, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us the best of rights. There's limits to everything, isn't there? There's sometimes giving rights, but sometimes giving so much where it's going to actually not help some people, but, cause problems for some people too. So everything is a level. If everybody had the right to do anything and everything, there would be complete chaos, wouldn't there? This is what, many people have been debating over. But that's the topic of its own. The point being, my dear viewers, if there were no rules, let's just say there were no laws, if there were no laws whatsoever, then anybody could do whatever they wished. And there would be complete chaos. There would be people stealing, there would be people robbing, there would be people killing. Yes, it would be murders left, right, and center. It would be complete chaos. So some rules are needed. And then rights are needed too. So subhanAllah, there are human rights. There are animal rights. So we are restricted as to what we can do. Something, we can't harm others. Everybody has a right. We can't harm them. There are the rights of animals. We can't just go around killing animals. No, animals have rights now. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given us these rights, you know, subhanAllah, 1400 or so years ago, nearly 1500 years ago, my dear viewers. Very long time ago, the rights which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given. And subhanAllah, one of these qualities is what? Is they push people to be more accepting of themselves. So there were some people like Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. People like Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Bilal al-Habshi, he used to be a slave. He lived a very, very hard life. He lived a very hard life. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was tortured. He was tortured by his master. He had his, you know, the burning, when it was burning hot, extremely hot, in the desert, his naked back was placed, his back, without any clothes on. Even if I were just to place my back on, even with the clothing I have on, you know, I would still feel the heat. And the extreme heat, I would still probably feel like it may even burn through my clothes. Really, I'm serious. Some people would be thinking I'm exaggerating. No. If you go to the desert and there's extreme heat, you know, that can burn your clothes. And then imagine removing his clothing and then placing him on the back. It burns a person's skin. And then on top of that, placing a huge boulder on top, not giving them any water. Allahu Akbar, this is what he went through. He was considered amongst the lowest of the low. He accepted Islam, and this was what happened to him. Allahu Akbar, this is how they treated him. This is how they treated Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu paid for him to be freed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even before this he accepted Islam, and this is the reason why he was tortured too, because he had accepted Islam, but he remained steadfastness upon Islam. And then later when he was freed from being a slave too, he came in the servitude, no doubt, of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He served Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And my dear viewers, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pushed him, meaning encouraged him to do good. Pushed him to do good. Encouraged him to, you know, be accepting of himself. The people will think, "What are you? All you are is a slave." No. Hazrat Bilal radhiallahu ta'ala anhu was that person. Was that person who, when Makkah al-Mukarramah was later in the 8th year Hijri, when Makkah al-Mukarramah was opened to the Muslims, it was opened to the Muslims, my dear viewers. The Muslims entered Makkah al-Mukarramah. When they came to Makkah al-Mukarramah, people, subhanAllah, they came towards the Ka'bah al-Musharrafah. After the idols had been destroyed, what happened? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an to what? Climb upon the Ka'bah al-Musharrafah and perform the adhan. Yes, for him to climb on top of the Ka'bah al-Musharrafah. Now that, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, is, like we say, the civil rights, what, 50 or so years ago, to 100 years ago, not even that, my dear viewers, 1950s, etc. And slaves, or black people, in fact, were given more freedom. Yes, slavery was abolished quite before that, but nevertheless, so those who were, you know, considered black-skinned or black people, as generally you would say, they were given freedoms. They were given rights, weren't they? But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadn't only given Hazrat Bilal or the black people freedom and rights over 1400 years ago. But he also, subhanAllah, he raised him to such a level, it was above everybody else. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu climbed the Ka'bah al-Musharrafah. This was unprecedented. Even some of the people who were new to Islam, even they were thinking, some were thinking, "Oh, I'm glad my father has died so he has not seen this day." Because there was some of that in them, some of the old fashion. When somebody's new to something, they don't understand everything clearly. So this is what some of the people had actually said. That had actually said this. "I'm glad my father's dead, so he doesn't have to live to see this." Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged him what? to be more accepting of himself. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had abolished any sort of prejudice, any sort of hatred, or in anybody's minds, if anybody had even the slightest of doubts, or this person used to be a slave, or this person is dark or black skin, so now I am better than this person. No, he removed all of this. He removed all of this just with this one beautiful action. Not that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explicitly says this too, that no white is better than a black, etc. No black is better than a white. The only difference is what? Piety. This is the difference, my dear viewers. But this is beautiful. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would encourage them, and they felt encouraged, alhamdulillah, when they were given Islam. This brought them honor. And those people, you know, they now they had this in their mind that, subhanAllah, I'm not afraid. Just because this may be the color of my skin, or just because I may be from such and such tribe, this means nothing. SubhanAllah. They were given this. They were, subhanAllah. What was the first point? Good friends, what do? They push people to be more accepting of themselves. And we need to think in this day and age too. Who are, and this was the purpose of the topic, to be honest, that we need to ask ourselves, who are our good friends? So we have people who we call friends. Well, nowadays we call many people friends, and because we associate with many more people. So we have some who, let's just say we may be playing football or something. So if we play football, we have some friends who play with us. We have some friends who you know, they're work associates. And sometimes we say they're friends. People who, when we go to work, we work together. Some sort of friends we, you know, maybe go on a holiday together. So there's different sort of friends. Some are primary school friends. I just know this person from primary school. So every now and then, we may even be after a year or two, they meet up. Or some high school, or this person went to university friends. So we have like different sort of friends, don't we? And there'll be some friends who we spend so much time with, a lot of time with. Every day we may meet these friends. The question is, which of them constitute good friends? And these are some quality of those friends, which are, or those people who are good friends. These are things we must be asking. And the first is that they make you feel better by yourself. And sometimes they encourage you to do things. Sometimes, you know, you have a dream, you have an option. Sometimes, and it's very rare, but now you have this opportunity to do something, to make something of yourself. But you're in doubt. Well, I'm not sure, should I do it, should I not? Yes, these are the benefits. You know, sometimes you think about these things and you'll share it maybe with your friends. And there'll be some friends who will think, no, I don't want him to do this. If he does this, he's going to be successful. I don't wish for him to be successful. I don't wish for him to feel better by himself. They'll always put you down. Yes, and whether they're doing it as a joke or not is a separate matter. But you need to think, this person, has he pushed me to, you know, feel better about myself? This is a question we need to be asking. The second one mentioned is that when we're in the wrong, then they correct us. And this is extremely important, my dear viewers. This is a very, very important quality. One of the best, one of the most important, I think personally. I think it's one of the most important ones. This is how you can tell a good friend from a bad friend. That a good friend will tell you to your face. He'll tell you to your face, this you've done wrong. You shouldn't have done this. You should not have done this. This is a good friend, my dear viewers. Well, they'll say it to you. Allahu Akbar. And again, we need to ask ourselves, there are some friends who we have. Sometimes, like, whatever I wish to do, they're like, yeah, go on, it's okay, no problem. Or yeah, go do this. And sometimes they'll defend it. No. Our good friend is when we seek advice. Or sometimes when we do something which is actually bad, I shouldn't have done. I've placed maybe my own life in danger, maybe myself in danger. Maybe I've gone to do something. I'm planning to do something which is illegal. And I share it with one of my friends. And he says, oh yeah, that'll be good. Then I wouldn't consider such a person to be your good friend. No. If I've done something wrong, I'm thinking of, you know, beating somebody up. And he's like, yeah, you should beat him up. Yeah, you go ahead and do it. It shows, my dear viewers, such people are not good friends. Such people are not good friends, because when you do something wrong, a good friend will stop you. He'll tell you, look, don't do this. First, he'll tell you, look, I'm telling you, don't do this. Don't do this. Or I've seen that these are the things you're doing now. You know, some people, they start selling drugs. And they think, oh yes, this is easy and quick money. But a good friend, those people who sell drugs, a good friend would tell them. You know, brother, it could be sister, it could be, you know, nowadays, men, males, females, people do all sorts of things. It could be, look, this is wrong, you shouldn't be doing this. Really. This is a good friend, where they tell you, look, don't do this. Please don't do this. And some will, and one thing you're just saying, yeah, I don't think you should do it, but they carry on, it's fine. No, you need to know they mean it deep down. This is what you're doing, you're selling drugs. This is wrong. You shouldn't be doing this. Oh, stop it. You need to stop this. If you don't stop it, I'm going to tell your dad. Now, some people will be like, oh, this person's a snitch. No, sometimes it needs to happen. If you're going to do this, I'm worried about you. I'm going to tell your elder brothers. I'm going to tell, you know, your family that this is the thing what you're planning to do. I'm going to tell your mother. I'm going to tell your father. Yes, it's youngsters too who begin to do this. Good friends are those who will say, look, I'm going to find a way to stop you doing it. One thing is telling them, just advising them first, please don't do this. This is wrong. This is bad. This is what you're doing. You shouldn't be doing this. This is the first step, isn't it? First telling them. Another is, let's just say the young, I'm going to go tell your dad. Yes, doing something about it. Another is, if you're going to carry on doing this, that's it. I don't wish to spend time with you no more. Or to try whatever a person can to make that person stop this. This is what a good friend is. Subhanallah. And if it was, we should be very, very careful. And this is a sign of a good friend. A good friend is one who calls us out when we are in the wrong. Those are, oh yeah, you did good here. No, they'll tell you, look, I didn't agree with this. I don't think it should have been like this. This is how it should have been. You were wrong. And we need to be able to tell our friends this. And if you sometimes tell your friend this and he hates you for it, then that person is not a good friend. We need to think, who are our friends? Subhanallah. Another is that they're there for you. This is very important. Subhanallah. The companions were always there for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Always. No matter what the situation, no matter what the difficulty. They were always there for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we need to question ourselves to our friends. When are they there for us? Now, there's one thing when we have, let's just say we are successful people. And you will see automatically that when you're a successful person, there's always people around you. When you either have lots of money, you'll always find people around you. When you've bought a new car, you know, everybody will be with you. Everybody will come to you. But it's not just people being there for us, it's people being there for us at the time of hardship. This is the difference. Because what happens when a person loses all their money, when a person becomes bankrupt, when a person, they fall in a difficult situation, then how many of our friends are still there? And this is what we call nowadays like matlabi. It's quite a famous term. I don't know the English equivalent. I'm not sure as to the English equivalent. But those who are just there for their self-interest, just keep it like this. Those who are just always there because they can gain something from you. You've got a lot of money. All right, if I hang around with you, you'll be paying for my food. You know, you'll maybe give me this. You'll say, here, just take it. It's okay, you can keep it. I'll get things. I'll gain things. Or even, I'll get to know your friends. You know, many people just do this to know other people's friends. So, I'll be with you. I'll find out about who your friends are. You know, they can become my friends and I can gain from them. Always self-interest. So, you know, then there's many people there for that. But the question is, when you're in a time of difficulty, then who is there for you? Who is there for you? Those people who are there for you, this is a sign of this person is a good friend. And in fact, there's self-interest in this too many times too. Because sometimes you're in a hardship, you're crying, a hardship has befallen you, and people will come. But what will be the intention to come? Sometimes they'll only come just to hear about you, just to learn about you, so that they could go tell other people, oh yeah, now this is what's happening with this person, with this, it could be male or female, or now he's gone through this, or she's gone through this. Not that they care, Not that they're willing to help you, but just to find out, oh, this is what's happening. Or just even sometimes to be happy about it. But these are things, sometimes, when a person is going through hardship, being there for means being there to help them. Being there to help them. Oh, okay, you are ill. Let's just say it's a mother who is ill. And okay, why don't you just, you know, let your children stay at my house? I'll take care of them. You won't need to worry about them. Or I'll even stay here, and you know, I'll give you whatever you need. I'll help you, or I'll go make you food. Don't worry about making food. I'll come. I'll bring you food, etc. You know, it could be anything. Somebody has cancers sometimes. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sadly we hear about a lot of people having cancer. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them all shifa inshaAllah ta'ala. Especially those who may be ill from our families. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them all shifa inshaAllah ta'ala. Many of you, we are going to move to the daily hadith. SubhanAllah, there's so many more points. First let's go to the daily hadith sharif, and then we shall come back to it inshaAllah ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
The viewers of Madani Channel, offering salah on time, doing good with your parents, and striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the best of deeds. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu recalls, I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from all deeds, what are loved most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He replied, offering salah on time, subhanallah. What after this? I further inquired, doing good with one's parents. He further explained. And after this, I asked, he concluded by explaining, striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, the best of deeds. Instill in your children the habit of offering salah, O devotees of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When your child reaches 7 years of age, have them offer the 5 daily salah. In this fashion, they will become punctual in this important act of worship from their childhood. Have them get used to waking up early in the morning and then making wudu. During colder weather, ensure the water they use for this is warm for their ease. They may otherwise become averse to both making wudu and offering salah entirely. When his son becomes the age of 7, a father should take him to the masjid. He should also inform his son of the required decorum expected thereupon, and how it is not a place for loud noises, running around or passing in front of people who are praying. When the congregation stands for salah, children should be made to stand alongside one another behind the final rows of men. This will foster a spiritual connection with the child and the masjid. The viewers of Madani Channel, how important it is to make a connection with a child and a masjid spiritually. Bring your children to the masjid to create a spiritual connection between the child and the masjid. Help them pray the daily 5 salahs, and when they reach the age of 7, take them to the masjid to offer congregation salah. Teach them the etiquette of the masjid. This way, they will be connected with the masjid. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, mashallah, you are watching Rise and Shine. That was the daily hadith, alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah, speaking about good friends. In fact, one point to mention, we had a question for the day. In whose house was Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's grave prepared? In whose house? There are 4 options. Option number 1 was Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. Option number 2 was Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Option number 3 was Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Auf. And option number 4 was Hazrat Usman ibn Affan. Hazrat Usman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Ajma'in, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for the sake of these beautiful people. Honestly, Alhamdulillah, whenever just mentioning the names of the companions, Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Hazrat Usman, Alhamdulillah, it brings me happiness, it brings me excitement, and this is how we should be, inshallah ta'ala. But those who have not sent in the answers, please do send in your answers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Oh, mashallah, there are some people who have sent in their answers. We shall come to the answers very, very soon. I would like to just mention a few more points. One point, this could be added to the previous one too, that good friends, they really listen to you. They really listen to you. When you are in your hardship, they're not always, and this, sometimes we see this, sometimes we say, look, something's happened to me, or something happened to somebody, and they're telling you about it. You should listen. You should give them your attention. But sometimes you give them your, not only not give them that their attention, or your attention, but also you'll just go ranting about, you know, your own problems. And then, you know, you think, but look what I'm telling you about. Look at the things you're bringing up. A good friend shows that they actually really do listen to you, my dear viewers. Another point is the supporters. The supporters, and another point mentioned is they keep our stress in check. Yes, the supporters. And they tell us, these are the things, they give us good advice. They give us good advice. Many times we see somebody doing something wrong, or this person is doing this wrong, and they will not give you advice, or they will not give you good advice. They will not give you good advice. Sometimes they leave, oh yeah, he's doing it. Yeah, yeah, you're doing really well. You don't know you're doing wrong. You probably think you're doing well. But this person knows you're not doing well. This person knows you're not doing well. And all they need to do is, if you did it like this, it could be a bit better. Or why don't you do it like this? It'll save you. You know, it'll save you some time. It'll save you some money probably. Or it'll help you advance even more. If you to, for example, let's just say, if a person was studying, if you were to study in this way, or if you were to concentrate on these things, and this will help you even more. If somebody's opened a business, if you were to do this in this way, it'll save you time, it'll save you money. Here, buy this too. This is very important. But don't forget about this law. Make sure you've got such and such account. It could be anything. Business, whatever it may be. But giving good advice. And yes, sometimes people get things done. But if you were to advise them, then they would get it done better. And sometimes we realize, you would think, well, this person, he was with me whilst I was doing it. Why did they not tell me? Why did they not tell me about this? I was doing this wrong. He was there. He was watching me. Again, this shows. And it doesn't mean break ties, no. But you need to learn who are your good friends. Those people who truly care about you. Those people who really are your good friends. And, you know, such people, but if it was good friends, yes, remain close to. And better, I'm not saying cut ties with anybody, no. Alhamdulillah, we are Muslims. And our belief is that you should try to keep ties with everybody. Islamic, this is. Because you love, your love or your hatred is not all personal, but it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you love somebody, if you respect somebody, it's for the sake of Allah ta'ala. If you hate or disrespect somebody, it's for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we must remember. But then, don't slow ourselves down too. Don't harm yourself by spending time with people who do not care about you. Or people who are only bringing hardship and difficulty to you. This is something we must remember too. And advise such people. I'm not saying break ties with them. But if it was, there have been people who have sent in the answers. Those who have not sent in your answers, please do. And let's listen to a Munkabat, inshallah, and read by none other than another special person, our respected and honorable Rukn Shura, Haji Abdul Habib Atari, Damat Barakatum Al Aliyah. Let's watch this. Sallu ala al Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
اے میرے میرا نظر کرم خدا را پیروں کے پیر نظر کرم خدا را روشن ضمیر نظر کرم خدا را سرکار غوث اعظم نظرِ کرم خدا را میرا خالقا صبر دو میرا خالقا صبر دو میں فقیر ہوں تمہارا
نظرِ کرم خدا را
اے شاہِ جیلان
نظرِ کرم خدا را
اے میرے میران
نظرِ کرم خدا را نظرِ کرم خدا را
سب کا کوئی نہ کوئی دنیا میں آسرا ہے سب کا کوئی نہ کوئی دنیا میں آسرا ہے میرا بجز تمہارے میرا بجز تمہارے سہارا
نظرِ کرم خدا را
اے میرے میرا
نظرِ کرم خدا را
اے پیرے پیرا
نظرِ کرم خدا را نظرِ کرم خدا را
مولا علی کا صدقہ داتا پیا کا صدقہ گنجے شکر کا صدقہ احمد رضا کا صدقہ نوری ضیا کا صدقہ مرشد پیا کا صدقہ میری لاج رکھ لو یا غوث میری لاج رکھ لو یا غوث میں مرید ہوں تمہارا
نظرِ کرم خدا را
پیروں کے پیر
نظرِ کرم خدا را
روشن ضمیر
نظرِ کرم خدا را نظرِ کرم خدا را
جھولی ہماری بھر دو ورنہ کہے گی دنیا جھولی ہماری بھر دو ورنہ کہے گی دنیا ایسے سخی کا منگتا شاہ جینا کا منگتا پھرتا ہے مارا مارا
نظرِ کرم خدا را
اے شاہ جینا
نظرِ کرم خدا را نظرِ کرم خدا را نظرِ کرم خدا را
یہ عطائے دستگیری کوئی میرے دل سے پوچھے یہ عطائے دستگیری کوئی میرے دل سے پوچھے وہیں آ گئے مدد کو وہیں آ گئے مدد کو میں نے جب جہاں پکارا
نظرِ کرم خدا را
اے میرے میرا
نظرِ کرم خدا را نظرِ کرم خدا را نظرِ کرم خدا را
مرشد جو بنا لیا ہے اپنا یہ تیرا کرم ہے مرشد جو بنا لیا ہے اپنا کہاں روسیا فریدی کہاں مجھ سا یہ سلسلہ تمہارا
نظر کرم خدا را
پیروں کے پیر
نظر کرم خدا را
روشن ضمیر
نظر کرم خدا را نظر کرم خدا را
الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم the peer of peers, the guide of guides حضرت عبد القادر جیلانی رحم اللہ تعالی علی مری ویز اومد انشاءاللہ عز و جل today we are speaking about good friends and one more quality I would like to mention انشاءاللہ عز و جل before going to the daily question سبحان اللہ this quality is they practice forgiveness. And in fact, I would like to mention one more thing. Previously, I did say I'm not for breaking relationships, but there are some relationships we must break. We need to remember this too. For example, those which are impermissible. Those relationships which are impermissible, those must be broken off, firstly. Secondly, those people who may cause you harm in your religion and your deen, who may make you distance yourself from your deen, those people who may corrupt, who may cause corruption in your beliefs, yes, such people we must refrain from such people. So there are some reasons as to why we must actually break off ties with some individuals. To find out more detail about this, please do contact a Sunni scholar, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as I was saying, the last point I would like to mention, my dear viewers, is that these people, meaning good friends, they practice forgiveness. They practice forgiveness. They forgive. You know, sometimes they may do something. Sometimes people may be wrong. We should be forgiving of others. We should be forgiving of others, and these are good friends. And sadly, sometimes what we do is, and we must remember, I mentioned signs of good friends. These are some signs, these are some qualities of good friends. But we must understand that there's a relationship, friend relationship, but the friends are not always first, are they? Meaning, first we must respect our parents. They are first. We must set our priorities right. Yes, mashallah, we may have very good friends. But then those people wouldn't be good friends if they do not recommend you to look after your parents, etc. Then they wouldn't constitute good friends, would they? They would not be good friends for you. You need to distance yourself anyway. But good friends, they'll even tell you, respect your parents. When somebody calls, sometimes what will happen is, there's two best friends. There's one of their father. And he says, where's my son? And the son knows that his friend, this is the son's friend the father is asking. You always know where my son is. You two are always together. Tell me, where is he? Where is my son? Where is your friend? Now, a good friend, my dear viewers, would, look at both sides. So one thing is, you need to look at the child side as well, the son side too, your own friend side. You also need to respect his parents, the elderly. So we need to think. And if they are at a wrong place, we need to tell them. This is what it is. And we need to protect our friend too, but I think this is something I shouldn't have spoken about because it depends on the situation. But generally, you should tell him. You're not allowed to lie anyway, are you? And in fact, just one thing I like to mention is as many times I say, I don't know. And then sometimes this is what happens. So I'd be like, you said, so you lied. Then no, I didn't lie. I just said, I don't know. But that's a lie too. The question is, do you know? Do you know? Yes, you know. Okay, and what did you say? You said, I don't know. Like, I didn't tell him, and I didn't want to lie either, so I just said, I don't know. Meaning, their meaning of saying, I don't know, is don't ask me. But they're saying, I don't know, which is actually a lie then. So saying, I don't know, is a lie. You must remember this. Many people, when they don't want to answer a question, they say, I don't know. But that's a lie if you do know. If you do know where they are. So this is subhanAllah, something that just came to mind. I thought I'll share with you. My dear viewers, we had our question of the day. The question of the day is, in whose house has Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grave been prepared? Meaning, was he buried? And there are four options. Option number one, it was Hazrat Sayyidatuna Fatima. Option number two, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Aisha. Option number three, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Option number four, Hazrat Usman ibn Affan, Hazrat Usman Ghani, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Which is the correct answer? There have been, mashallah, some answers. I said, I think the answer is B. Another person has said, and this is Nadim, I think it's pronounced, Salim from, I don't know how to pronounce this, Smethwick, I think it is. The answer is B, according to this person. Another give salam wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I trust all are safe and well. Alhamdulillah. Could the answer be B? Brilliant question. Could the answer be B? My dear viewers, what is the correct answer? The correct answer will be highlighted. Option number one or option number A was Hazrat Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was not the daughter's house in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was buried. Option number two was Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. Yes, which is the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the reason it's attributed to the wives is because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would spend a day or so in different houses, and it was in the house of Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu ta'ala anha that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was buried. Not that of Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf. No, Sayyidina Usman Ghani, Usman ibn Affan, radiallahu ta'ala an. So many of you, inshallah, nowadays, where we have the green dome above, and then, subhanAllah, we have the blessed shrine of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that part was actually the house of Hazrat Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala anha, subhanAllah. And buried along with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah, yes. Subhanallah, the companion in this world. Yes, not all the companions are companions in this world and the companions in the akhirah too. No doubt about it. But Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, in this world, very close, the closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanallah, his grave too lies besides that of the greatest of mankind, the greatest of all creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu was the first Khalifa. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu is afdalul bashar ba'dal anbiya, the greatest of all of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even greater than the immediate family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, the first Khalifa. And then also buried next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, is another individual. And this is the second Khalifa of Islam, Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Allahu Akbar, the second greatest from amongst all of the companions too, Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah. Yes, they lie next to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she would visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away, she stays. You know, because it was her house, they actually sought permission to Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab to be buried next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. She, and this is, in fact, we're gonna have to leave this point because we've run out of time. But there is an incident which is beautiful. And inshallah, no doubt, alhamdulillah, well, alhamdulillah, usually we have programs every single day. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows me to continue, then hopefully another time we shall mention this incident. That's all for today though, my dear viewers. Hopefully we shall be returning tomorrow. All those people who had asked or requested for du'as, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of the du'as that they have, which are permissible, which are good and beneficial for them, inshallah ta'ala. That's all for today. Hopefully we shall be returning tomorrow for more Rise and shine. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine.